Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by XSplit Broadcaster. Simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah. I'm your host for this show. And this is episode number 118. Today we've got a sweet interview for you. We got to speak with the partnership lead at Mixer, Miss Amelia Carter, who gives some really cool insights on how the partnership mechanic works for them. And also, you know, some tips and tricks on if you want to become a partner and so a little tidbit of information what's coming up on Mixer, which we're always super excited to hear. But before we get into all that, I've got a wonderful cast here with me today. Catherine, how you doing?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm excellent. Very excellent. Near the end of my vacation. So good.
Aww.
Simon, what's up?
not much. Going well. I feel that every time you ask Kat how she's doing, I'm good is like her default option. Like it's almost as iconical as her CSDESBINS at this point. How are you doing? Guys, I'm good.
You guys haven't don't get to see this because when obviously we are talking, we have video chat going while we're recording these podcasts. But Simon always mimes or whatever you want to call it, Catherine saying her, yeah, bouncing her head back and forth. It's cute.
I mean, it's the way to do it. Even Albin now, Hogwarts fan Albin, has been like, "Thank you, CSDBINS."
It's like a song.
It is.
It's like a song. It's my name, but it's not a very common or easy name to remember.
No,
but I don't
want
to go with a gamer tag that I'm going to regret in 2 years.
But it's smart, though, because do you remember when you were kids and you had to, like, remember the planets or something like that? Or some other thing, and you used to make a song out of it?
Yeah, because clearly Kat needs to remember her name.
It's not for her. It's for everybody else. And obviously it's catching on because y'all are doing it, okay?
That's true.
She's on to something here.
That's true.
I am.
Kat knows what's up.
Hey, all right. I learned the 50 states and their capitals because of an Animaniac songs, and I'm not even American.
Yes!
Oh, that's wicked. All right, guys. What games have you been gaming?
I'm back into Fire Emblem Echoes Shadows of Valentia.
Why is that?
Because I got stuck on the side of the highway for 4 hours.
Ew! Thank God for mobile games.
Yeah.
Oh, my DS was my best friend. At one point, there was a change in the shift in the Sûreté du Québec people that were catching speeders. And the guy comes over and he's like, duck, duck, duck. And I'm just like sitting there like playing my DS. I'm like, hi.
Car's
<He's> like,
broken.
what are you doing? I'm like waiting for a tow truck. He's like, okay. I'm like, okay. Basically, it was a very, very strange story, but it ended with my brother having to come and pick me up in Montebello. That is like an hour out of Montreal anyway. But because of that, I got further into Fire Emblem. And battle system's still pretty lackluster, but the story's picking up and I'm getting into it.
Okay, good. Cool. So this is like, it was a bad thing, but now it's turned into a good thing.
Well, no, the story is interesting. There's always a good story in Fire Emblem.
Oh, I was talking about, like, the car breaking down on the side of the road.
No, that was a bad thing. That was a wasted day. I wasted my Saint-Jean-Baptiste holiday on the side of the 50 for 4 hours waiting for a tow truck that never showed up that I had to call, like, a second or a third tow truck.
Why didn't they show up? That's so weird.
I don't know. Well, they kept lying to the SQ because, like, the car broke down. It broke down just after I passed a bunch of officers catching speeders, and they radioed in somebody. And then to do the follow-ups, I was just it's like, well, on your cell phone, it's like *441*.
Uh-huh.
And I kept talking to them, and they kept saying, well, they say they left. They say they're on their way. And then 2 hours later, I'm like, my car broke down at 1. It's 3 p.m. I have nobody. Can I have the guy's number? And they gave me the number. And the guy talked to me and he was like, well, my boss left with the tow truck and he's somewhere I can't reach him because there's no cell signal. And I'm like, then why did you fucking tell the officer that you were on your way? I've been waiting here 2 hours. Like, I would have called somebody else.
Jeez.
And then the officer at the end of the line was like, well, we called other companies and they said they couldn't take your car. So we were trying to find a third. And finally, I call my brother and I'm like, is there something that you can do, or do I call the CAA and become a member on the phone and they come pick me up? He's like, I'm going to come to you. He gave me his CAA number. I called the CAA and I told them the situation and they were like, well, we can come like in 5 minutes. I'm like, no, because my brother's not here. Like, give him an hour to come. So they logged in the call 40 minutes after I called and my brother showed up and then the tow truck showed up and it was one of the companies that told the SQ that they couldn't accommodate my car.
Oh my god. So they just couldn't be bothered to come get you.
And I'm just like, and my brother has the gold membership, so the car could get towed 150 kilometers away. So we were at Montebello. The girl on the phone was like, 150 kilometers would get you like from Montebello to like on the other side of the island, so we can get you anywhere in Montreal. So this Montebello tow truck company took the Fiat and drove it all the way into Montreal. And it's a tow truck company that was like, that couldn't take my call outside of the CAA. So I'm like, what bullshit is this? Like roadside assistance privilege. I don't know. Anyways,
how much is CAA?
If you guys have a car, make sure you have roadside assistance. If you ride a car, pay for the extra roadside assistance. Because I stayed on the side of the road playing video games for 4 hours when I was supposed to be home and like doing laundry and getting shit done. And it's like my sister-in-law did my laundry because I was stuck there.
So and, like, what even happened to your car? Like, why did it get stuck?
One of the straps broke.
Oh.
It just, so it was a piece of rubber that broke and it cost us like $125 to get it fixed.
Wow.
But the car couldn't move without it.
Okay. Jeez. So all the learnings is, have roadside assistance. Bring your 3DS with you everywhere.
Yeah.
Fully charged.
Fully charged with a game ready to go.
Yes. And I also had an external battery to charge my phone because I couldn't start the car to charge the phone with the car. So have an external battery for your phone in case you need to make calls, follow up on tow truck companies, and crush some candies.
There you go.
Wow.
You learn something new every day when you're listening to the GOJ podcast.
Yes. Also, Fiats are made by Chrysler, and they're not reliable.
They're not. Don't get a Fiat. It's expensive for what it is.
All right, Simon. What have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of different things, actually. I've been trying out. I got back into Final Fantasy XIV, the MMO, because well, the expansion came out. I didn't buy it yet because I never got to max level, so I can't even play the expansion. I have like the first expansion to play before I can get to the second one. But no, I have a lot of friends playing and stuff, so I figured I'd give it a try. I re-downloaded Black Desert Online, but I still hate it, so that's bad. I tried playing did I talk about Shadows of Mordor?
Last podcast you said you were gonna try it and you get back to us on if it's any better. And
tried it, still hate it. I feel that it's really, like, I was talking, like, replaying it, I think I realized why I was feeling that the combat, like, was horrible and the movement was bad. Because it's a lot like, I don't know if you played Witcher 3, but before they implemented the alternate movement patch, kind of, sort of, like, default movement really fucking sucked. And it almost made me stop Witcher 3, but, like, the story and stuff was really good, so I stuck with it. But I feel that, like, the Shadows of Mordor could really benefit from having an alternate, like, response when you're moving, because, like, by trying to make it the movement like too realistic, by like turning left and right and like just moving around, it just like makes this weird lag when you try to move, and there's this weird like floatiness, I guess is the best word I could use to describe it. Like, everything floats, it's not crisp. So yeah, I dream of a game like that, an RPG like that, where movement is crisp like in Dark Souls, because that I would like, that would be my favorite game of all time. Like, give me Witcher 3 with Dark Souls 3 movement, I would die happy, because wow. So yeah, so that's what I've been playing pretty much. I think so. Fire Emblem Heroes. Oh, and to go back to the discussion of last week that I couldn't run Pokemon Go and Spotify and my running app on my phone, I can figure out how. Yeah, there's an order on how, like, I have to finish with Pokemon Go, then I can, then it works with my running app and Spotify, so that's good.
Good stuff.
Yep.
So I've been on vacation this week, so I took the time to tidy up my house and play a lot of games. So it's harder, it's more difficult for me to tell you right now what I haven't played than what I've played. So Astroneer, I think I'm done with it. I played a lot yesterday and managed to finally get my character up into space and go look at other planets and all that kind of stuff. And now I'm bored. I'm done. I think I'm done. Yeah, but I got to outer space. That game's really pretty. I like the aesthetic. There's definitely control issues. I mean, it's in pre-alpha. What do you expect, right? But it's kind of sad. Like, I don't know if I'd ever go back now.
Yeah.
Like, to play the final game. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I feel kind of bad. Subnautica, on the other hand, I'd totally go back to play that. What else did I play? Ooh, I had an adventure into Minecraft for the very first time. Never played Minecraft before.
Oh, did you play with Steffi?
Yeah. Nice. So, Steffi and I were streaming Overwatch one evening, and then she's like, I've been playing a lot of Minecraft. I'm like, I've never gotten into that. She's like, well, I've been playing this mod that is like Stardew Valley. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, it's like Farmville and Stardew Valley, and like, or Harvest Moon and Stardew Valley had a baby, and it's awesome. I'm like, you're kidding, right? So anyways, that instance, I was like, okay, I'm freaking doing this. I'm buying Minecraft. So here's another lesson for today. I went into the Windows Store, aka Xbox Store, whatever you want to call it, within the PC thing, to find Minecraft, because I was like, Microsoft owns Mojang. I have it. It's all set up. My credit card's already implemented, yada, yada, yada. Straight away, went in, looked at the page. It had Minecraft for Windows 10 there, $39.99 or whatever it was, $35 or something. I think it was $35, then plus tax, it was $40. Wait, this
Minecraft
gets better.
Is $40?
This gets better. Yeah. So I go into, I also go to the Mojang site for Minecraft and look at it, and it costs $40 there. And I'm sitting, and then it's like, it also includes, but it's a different version, okay? They're two different versions. Okay. So I go into the Minecraft site, and it's also $35. And I'm like, well, because I'm lazy and want to play this now, I will just go in and buy the Windows version because I already have all my credit card information in there because it's already signed up for my Xbox Live, and that makes life so much easier. No. They are not the same thing. You cannot do the mods on the Windows 10 version. So here, after I spent $40, I was livid because I couldn't get this to work. Luckily, I have a few friends and a few fun places that were able to hook me up with a version of Minecraft that would take mods. But I'm like, hey, I already gave you the money. But yeah, that was one evening when I was pretty pissed. But once I got in, that game is going to be a time suck for me.
Oh, guaranteed. Yeah, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so it's Minecraft in general is a time suck when you play with friends and stuff, but Minecraft is $40?
Yeah. $40. Pascal bought it for $5.
Yeah, I bought it for $5 too, and it like came out like 7 years ago or something.
I know,
something.
But there's different versions now too, and like they had those, like, you could, when you went in, you were like, do you need to upgrade a Legacy Pro version to this version and all this kind of stuff? I was like, I don't know. I was just like, my Xbox account is attached, so I hit buy and then got screwed. Wow. So yes, if you want to do mods, if you want to do all that fancy pants stuff, go buy it off the Mojang website, okay?
That's insane.
That's my rule. I also played some Titanfall. I have a new game on my Switch, Goner, but I just downloaded it. I haven't played it yet. Should be interesting. And I'm really, really tempted to hit that buy button on the Necromancer for Diablo. It's tempting me, but I'm like, I just have so many other games.
How much? Is it $15?
Yeah, which everybody's freaking out about. And I'm like, $15 is not that bad.
No, but it's kind of like stuff that it could have released an expansion with than it came with, but it's just kind of like DLC, so I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, they've been doing like that kind of stuff with WoW and for a long time, so I don't know. That's true.
Oh, well, I might wait a little bit and then get that later after I've like maxed out my time with all the other games that I've been playing. All right, let's take a little break and come back with some news. We'll be right back. And we're back with some news. It's actually been a pretty slow news week. We're like, what, a week out from E3? So everybody's kind of like settling in. But we had two pieces of decent news come out that we got to talk about. So I'm throwing a cat first. What do you got for me, girl?
Well, I think everyone's been talking about one thing this week is the SNES Mini Classic.
Yeah.
Which is already making waves because it's getting launched with 21 games. Some people are thinking that 21's is a bit cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo has said they were committed to make them, to manufacture them until the end, the calendar year of 2017. So it's launching in September 2017 and they're like, yeah, we're going to make them for like 3 months. Like, go fuck yourself.
Salty!
With a friendly reminder that their focus is on the Switch and the 3DS. So, yeah, get your pre-order is in while you can because it's going to be another shit show. But the big thing about the SNES Classic is that it is coming with Star Fox 2.
Yeah! What the fuck?
It's the first official legit release of Star Fox 2 and not just, like, people getting on emulators.
That's
so strange.
So that game was axed in the summer of 1995 when the game was about 90-95% complete because Nintendo saw just how great the PlayStation was doing. And the PlayStation and the Sega Saturn, it was before the Sega Saturn tank. And like suddenly people were playing in 3D and they were like, yeah, this crew 3D is not going to make it next to what we're seeing on these other consoles. So they axed it and they focused on Star Fox 64 instead. So there's actually, if you go around to your favorite gaming site, whether it be Polygon, IGN, or Kotaku or whatever, they have stories on why it was axed, and also photos of the original Star Fox 2 team going out for drinks together, celebrating that it's getting released.
It's not just that, Kat, that I heard. They actually didn't know.
What?
Yeah, I heard that too. They had no idea.
I was watching through my daily YouTube, you know, subscriptions and Daily Fix when Naomi Kyle was there. I was watching through and they said that they didn't know it was getting released. They're just as surprised as everybody else.
Wow. That's so man. Strange. It must have been like such a what the fuck moment for them. Like what? They're doing it for real? What? Oh my god, my game's finally getting released like 20 years later? What
too
the
funny. Too funny. Guys, I mean, are you gonna go and try and get one? Like, is this the thing that the reason why you would wanna go and get this mini version of the SNES?
No, I don't. It's too hard to get one for it to be worth it.
Do you think that they're going to make this as hard as the NES Classic?
Yes, because they're going to be, again, a victim of their own success. Like, I think they're doing this as a side project or to tap in into the retro market. Or, you know, they're just doing it to make a buck at Christmas because Nintendo lost money with the Wii U and wasn't as profitable. And the 3DS kept them afloat for so long. I think that was just a project to see if they could, like, even out their finances to make the Switch less of a gamble.
Hmm.
Because, like, Nintendo is not on the brink of bankruptcy. They have they've been known to be sitting on a lot of money and being very savvy with their money. But I feel like this project is just, like, the Wii U sucked. The Switch is a slow go. And it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be something that's very profitable right away. So I think they're just releasing these things as a way to make extra money. And they're a victim of their own success. And I think what they should do is if the SNES happens, if it happens the same thing as the NES Classic and it's really hard to pre-order and there's not enough for everybody and they sell millions and millions and even then they oversell it. I think they should just make a list and have people pre-order and be like, just like a list of people that are willing to get it. And then they manufacture the amount that people are willing to buy and then ship them out.
I don't know if, yeah, that would be smart, but I'm not sure if that's something that's going
to
happen.
No, that's way too smart for Nintendo.
No, because like you said, all they want to do is make a quick buck. So the less money they have to spend on actually doing it than the best it is. So it's probably the first 3 months is probably because they're going to have like all the parts and the necessary for 3 months because they got a deal or whatever. And then fuck it. They're done because it's going to be too expensive to manufacture more for what it's going to come back with. So
I think they should, like, if they're going to do the N64 mini or whatever, which I doubt they will because those games don't port as well. But man, they should do like almost like a Kickstarter campaign or just like have.
But don't they do those T-shirt things where it's like they only make what people order?
Yeah. Well, like designed by humans and whatnot. Well, you can't do that. You can't do that with a console. But I think they're like, we don't want to manufacture more. But like if they can get enough people that are willing to buy, they could make. I think they could make 1 million more or 2 million more of the NES classics easy and sell them. Just because there are people that get their hands on it. And, you know, like I saw on Facebook people being like selling their NES classic that like they played with it for a bit and now they don't want it anymore, or maybe they need to make a quick buck. And like some guy was selling it for $200 Canadian used.
Crazy.
Just get an emulator.
At that point, I'm like, yeah, I'll get an emulator. Like, people
can they just bring virtual console to the damn Switch?
Yes.
I mean, that could work, but like honestly, at work, a guy bought a Raspberry Pi, which is like what, $20, and he installed a SNES emulator on it with like 1,000 games, and he bought like 2 little USB SNES controllers, and it's plugged in, and then you play. So it costs him maybe like $50, and you have everything you want.
The only thing with that is it's a little illegal.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it's not like Nintendo made it easy for that guy to get his console.
Exactly.
That's true.
You know, like there's a supply and demand. It's like I've seen people, they're like, yeah, Game of Thrones is the only TV show I download because HBO like is protecting it so much that, you know, I can't watch it anywhere else.
That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm subbed to everything, but fuck. I'm not going to... So I don't even have cable. Why would I sub to HBO just to watch one show? No.
Exactly. When you make something hard to get, that's when people circumvent your things. It's like Marvel movies. I didn't catch it. I don't need to download them. I just have to wait and they'll eventually be on Netflix. I know that.
The whole trend of downloading music too is gone. We all just pay our streaming services because it's easy.
Exactly.
And you're not going to get a virus.
And I feel that a lot of it, well, for me anyways, like I used to download all my games, but now games are so cheap not recent games, but like I feel like there's so much stuff being offered now, and like no DRM, that kind of stuff, that you just buy the game, you have it, and it's yours, you can play it whenever you want. I feel that a lot more people also now are just actually buying games rather than pirating them. So,
and it's power of the back catalog now. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but I've noticed now that I work in e-com at Ubisoft, but like every company does it. It's just like sell back catalog cheap and you'll make money. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, should I play Assassin's Creed 2? Yeah, sure, why not? It's a great game. Oh, the HD remaster is, what, $20? Or, like, you get all the Ezio games for $60 in HD remastered? You know, it's like, at that point, why download when an old game, or you wait for a Steam sale and you pick shit up, like, Shadow of Mordor for $5? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And like, not only that, but... Very often, AAA games will get patched like a year after they come out. Yeah. Like, perfect example, I saw in a news article today, Final Fantasy 15, like, they removed I think you could only drive on roads or whatever, or something like that. And, like, they removed that. Now you can drive anywhere the fuck you want. So, like, and they've been doing all sorts of improvements since the game came out. So, it was an article on Reddit, and people were like, so there's basically no point in buying a AAA game when it comes out, because then you play it. And then everything that's annoying, they fix it so that you wouldn't have that when it comes out. So it's like, just wait a game. It's going to be cheaper and all the bugs are going to be fixed and you're going to have a much better time than buying it the day it comes out.
I gave my copy of, or a copy that I have of Assassin's Creed Unity to one of Michael's buddies that's on the Sneaker Podcast. Uh-huh. And he just came back to me. He was like, this game's really good. I'm like, yeah, it is really good after they patched it and everything's fixed, right? It's actually a really, really good Assassin's Creed.
It is. It's really good, but it was almost unplayable. Like that first scene with in the church, it was the frame rate was like down to 10 frame rates on the Xbox One. It was their first on the new gens, you know, that they did just for the new gen. But I mean, all AAA games. It's like, you know, I got Prey. A friend at work gave me an extra copy. He had a Prey because he works in PR and he had a bunch of games. And I haven't played it yet because I'm like, I'm pretty sure when I install it, there's going to be like a bunch of patches. Like I'm purposely waiting 3-4 just months. Wait.
That's what I've been doing. That's what a lot of people have been doing. Just wait a couple months. It's going to be cheaper and all the bug on releases are going to be fixed. So
that's what I'm waiting for Persona 5. Because I've been watching a few YouTube videos and now I don't want to watch anymore because I actually want to play it. So I'm just waiting. I'm waiting. Let's move on to our second news article that comes from Simon.
Yeah. Actually, it was something that I forgot if we talked about, but it was something that I was actually thinking about because, you know, with the release of the PS4 Pro, the Xbox One X, I was kind of afraid or had a feeling that they would, like, do that from now on, like release the same kind of console with upgraded graphics, upgraded this, and not an actual new Xbox or whatever, or an actual new PlayStation. But news came out today. Sean Layden, actually the guy who does the presentation for Sony at E3, he says no. He said there's definitely a PS5 that's going to come out. He said the smartphone style approach where you release a 5S, a 5SC or whatever, like that's not going to happen. There's an actual PS5 that's going to be coming out. It's working on it. So, you know, and there will, and he also said something interesting. There will be no users who have a standard PS4 will experience no real disadvantages going forward. As in, even if you don't get a Pro, they're never going to release a game that is only for PS5 or for PS4 Pro. Or I'm guessing, I don't know if Microsoft is going to do that, the game that's only for Xbox One X, but like that would be dumb to release a game that's only for that or that kind of stuff. So it's probably going to be like not 4K graphics, 60 FPS or whatever, but you'll still be able to buy it and play it. So that's also some good news. But I was happy to know that they're actually going to make a new generation of consoles eventually. So that's cool.
That's good. I do like the idea of like the interim updates though, because like those consoles do last a long ass time and they do start to wear and tear. And you can even tell with like, I got a day one edition Xbox One. I got a day one edition PS4 and my PS4 sounds like an airplane taking off. So I like the idea that I can upgrade, especially since like these things are expensive. The monitors, TVs, 4K TVs are expensive, you know, like, so if I do at one point decide to buy a 4K TV, then maybe I'll be like, well, when my PS4 kicks the bucket, I'll go with the Pro. Do you know what I mean? That kind of stuff is good, but it's not so big that I feel like I'm left in the dust by not dropping the money on it.
Yeah, I think it's smart for console companies to have an affordable option and then a more expensive, powerful option that can power 4K and VR and augmented reality. But for the average person that just like, you know, I buy Madden every year and all I want to do is play Madden, then you don't need the Xbox One X.
No.
Honestly, like, you can get your...
Unless you want to play Madden 4K, then definitely get your Xbox One X.
But I mean, like, for the casual gamer...
No, I know what you mean.
Or even us, if we're a hardcore gamer, like, I have no reason to go out and buy the Xbox One X yet.
Nope.
And maybe I'll never have a reason to buy it.
Just bought an S, so why would I buy an X?
Yeah. I think the smaller affordable option is great, and a lot of people don't see the difference between the, oh my god, 4K, 100 FPS, or whatever.
Like, the only thing that's different with this one is the X is actually smaller than the S in the OG.
Yeah.
Physically smaller.
So.
Yeah.
I know, but when you say like the smaller version, it's not physical smaller,
but just smaller and
I know what you mean.
The less powerful version.
The less powerful
version.
All right, it's time for us to get into topic of the show. This week we've got a wonderful interview with Amelia Carter, who is partnership lead at Mixer. So right after this break, we're gonna get into that. Stay tuned. So I'm sitting across the digital table from Amelia, who is a partnership lead at Mixer. Amelia, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to talk to me.
My pleasure, Leah. Thank you for having me.
No problem. This is going to be lots of fun. I'm really intrigued. Our team has recently jumped on Mixer. Well, I can't say that recently. It's been a good 3 months at least, back when it was Beam. So were you with the company when it was Beam?
I was. I was with the company before Microsoft, too.
Ooh, wow. Wow. Okay. So give us some details on your history with the company then, your backstory, and what life's been like since all these changes. It seems like you've gone through a lot.
Yeah, we've been through quite a bit. I love telling the story too, because this is my sort of my crowning achievement in life. Before this job, I held a variety of jobs. I was a seasonal worker, and I worked in vet kennels and receptionist, you know, positions, just everything from Starbucks to walking dogs. And this is the first real job. I mean, they're all real jobs, but this is the first corporate job that I've ever had. So it's been very exciting. I found then Beam, now Mixer, I found them because a friend of mine had said, hey, Graf, have you seen this new site that's out and it's really pretty and you should join it? And I thought, oh, I'm already on this other site and I'm happy here, but I should probably get my name. And I went over and I was just going to make my name account and that was going to be good enough. But the site really was very pretty. And I thought, oh, okay. I mean, I would like to see some more competition. That seems good. And this is really pretty. So I went to Twitter, which is sort of what you do when you're checking out a new company these days. And right. I began to harass them a bit. I asked some really hard questions, you know. They were founded by two young men who also happened to own the largest Minecraft host server host. Like they happened to own that. And so I was kind of going down that rabbit hole of, okay, well, what about those of us who don't want to use your Minecraft server host? You know, are we welcome here? Can we have our sponsors? And they're like, yeah, it's cool. The answers were really very graceful and very, very impressive. So I did a little more research and I found out that these guys were 17 and 18 at the time.
Whoa. How long ago was that?
A couple years.
Oh, man. They're still young.
They're still super young. And I was just so incredibly impressed because the answers that they gave were just, they were on par. Like they were incredible. So I thought, okay, this is one to watch. And I did. I watched. And at one point, my service of choice was down. So I thought, hey, why not? I'll give it a shot. And this was actually before FTL. This is before the sub-second latency. So they still had some latency, but it was only about 2 to 3 seconds. And that was mind-blowing at
still
the time.
Impressive.
Yeah, it was absolutely mind-blowing. And I got addicted and I couldn't go back at that point. I was sold. So I streamed with them for a little while. I became a good friends with a lot of the regulars. There were about 20 or 30 of us streamers at the time. And they started building out the partnership department. There were two partners and they said, hey, we'd like to actually put a sub button now on our partnership. Like this was before we even had sub buttons. Would you like to be the first to test it? And I said, yes. I mean, yes. So, I was the first person to test the sub button and help them kind of get some strong feedback. And by the time we'd built up to maybe a dozen partners, I realized that the partners were all sitting around like, okay, I don't know what to do now. I need direction. I don't, you know, the guys that own the company were busy running three other companies as well, and they needed some help. So one of the things that I really enjoy doing in life is helping people find each other. So helping someone find the right job or helping a team find the right teammate, you know, pretty good at matching people. So what I did was I wrote down a list of, okay, they need someone with these skills, these passions, this drive, this understanding, this experience. I wrote it all down and I looked at it and I thought, okay, now who could I go find to help them with this? And I realized that was me, you know.
Nice.
That should be that. That's me on this paper. I should do this job. I didn't need a job at the time. We were comfortable. Me and my two kids, my husband, we were comfortable with the one family income. And I was, you know, couponing for all I was worth. But I thought, you know, this could be a lot of fun. So I spent a little time with it and kind of made sure that this was really what I wanted to do. And I think in October, I think it was, of 2015, October or November of 2015, I decided I'm going to go for this. And the first weekend of December, I went to Matt and James, the co-founders, and I said, hey guys, you need this person, and I'm it. So can I have a job? And within 24 hours, I had an offer.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
way
I was
to go.
I was their first buttoned partner, and I was their first paid hire. Everybody else was volunteers until then.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So I love that story. I love telling that story because it just shows that if you stick around and you know take initiative and if you're willing to put in the hard work, you can get places. Because now I work for Microsoft, so that's pretty cool.
That's pretty amazing. I'm like, oh wow. Crazy. I had no idea that was your backstory. Oh, I'm so happy we're talking about this because it's funny. It's conversations that we often have with many folks who want to get into the video game industry, be it whatever, right? And it's just passion and then drive. And then for you too, just figuring out that a need was there and mm-hmm. you fit the bill to help fix the situation and ended up being awesome for on both sides.
Yeah, it really paid off, I think, for hopefully for everyone involved.
So wicked. So partnership lead, you have to tell mm-hmm. me, what is a day in the life of partnership lead like?
Well, it's about 6 hours of meetings and 2 hours of drama, and then a couple hours on top of that of answering emails.
I love drama. Let's dish. What kind of stuff do you have to do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I do a lot of listening to partners. Mm-hmm. We have something that we have here on Mixer is we have a partner Discord dedicated just to our partners.
Very nice.
Our managers and staff all hang out in there. The partners can help each other out on some simple stuff. And the staff like to say, hey, here's some cool stuff that's coming down the line. What do you guys think? And get immediate feedback. So I spend a lot of time listening to that, if you will. I also talk a lot with my partner managers because my partner managers, they go one step farther than I think really any company. And each partner manager will spend 15 to 20 minutes with every partner that they have once a month just to catch up and say, hey, here's what's coming down the pipeline. Here's what's happened in the past, just in case you missed it. You know, what can I do for you? How are things going? Just checking in on you. And then they take all of that feedback and they come back to me and they say, hey, something that we've missed is, you know, this feature apparently needs some attention, or they really would like to see this. Let's get some traction on that. And then I take that to the team and we help make it happen. So it's a lot of talking and a lot of listening. And I do stream hop quite a bit. I usually have a stream running on my second monitor and I just sort of lurk and listen across the site. So it's pretty cool.
I'm kind of notorious for lurking on Mixer.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with a good work and lurk.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I do. I work and lurk, you know. Mm-hmm. So how many partnership, I guess, managers do you have then? And how many partnered streamers do you have right now?
So those are numbers that I can't actually reveal. We have to work fast, work hard. So that for one thing, if I told you the number, it would be wrong by the time this posted. It's
hilarious.
We're growing pretty fast.
That's good though. It's good to know.
Yeah. We're growing good to know. Really fast.
Yeah. Cause okay. So the reason we jumped onto Mixer was a bunch of different things. Mostly was the community. So I have to say the community in Mixer has been the most welcoming bunch. I mean, look, you've probably streamed before. As a female, it can be a little intense.
It can be kind of icky.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was the very first thing that we were really attracted to with Mixer, Beam at the time. And we were also really attracted to the fact that we could have a team because as mm-hmm. Girls on Games, like we had a Twitch channel, all that stuff, but we'd have to switch people out playing their channel. This way, we could have a group thing together and people could do what they want when they felt like it. That's what I like the best. But now, Mixer, especially once the name changed and everything and the announcement of co-streaming and all those things together, mm-hmm. it's really like it feels good that we are like there in the semi beginning, not the beginning, but we.
Hey,
you know,
you're still OG Beam. That
helps. OG, yeah, OG. There you go. So for you guys, how has that changed your daily life? And the fact that, you know, you've got all these new features that you're throwing out, you know, and dealing with the partners and that kind of stuff, and just the influx since, you know, the announcement and launch on Xbox and since E3 and all that jazz, it has to be kind of crazy.
Well, to be honest, it's actually a little bit easier because we don't have to keep the secret of the name anymore. we as a team knew for a few months before because we had a lot of preparation to do. So life is a little bit easier now that we can talk about Mixer. We can say Mixer. I still sometimes when I say Mixer, I think, oh, NDA, shouldn't say, but it's out now. It's okay. It's fine. So it's a little bit easier in that respect. The traffic has been absolutely exponential. We crushed our goals and we're very excited about that. And we're super excited to see what this next year is going to bring. And yeah, I love co-streaming. Oh my stars. That's my favorite thing. We've been wanting that since I joined back in 2015, and to see it finally come to fruition. And it's a true co-stream. You can see, you know, one video right next to the other video and the chats combine. It's beautiful. I love it.
Oh, it's amazing. I couldn't have thought of a better, I couldn't even have thought of how could they have done this? Because many a days we've sat there and been like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if like a bunch of us could play a game together and you can see a bunch of our faces, but not all be in the same room and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The way that this has naturally come together and people have jumped on it so quickly, and it's like a mad special recipe for awesome cake.
Yeah. So when I first started streaming here, I have a gaming group. It's called SMB. And they've basically become my family since. But when we first started, we had four points of view in one stream. We were the first, as far as we could tell, to actually do that. So what we did was I would stream from my computer directly to the lead streamer's computer. He would then stream that out to Beam. And wow. So we had four points of view, and we had obviously the one chat because we had just a group channel. Matt would come in and hang out in that stream once a week for ages. And so we were the first four points of view on Beam. And Matt said, this is great. We need to do this. And so we're like, yes, please do. 2 years later, we finally manage it. But it is way cooler to do it this way. And it's a lot easier on the computer resources. Mm-hmm.
Obviously too, with this influx of all these new users and stuff, technical glitches and things like that, but you guys seem to be very on the ball with doing the updates and stuff. I know Chrome was a bit of an issue for me for a little while. How has that been for you guys to be able to manage that influx of comments too?
Well, it does sometimes wear on you when you want to give a perfect performance, right? You want to have the best experience possible for your users, and so we're all emotionally invested in this, and sometimes it's very frustrating that we can't deliver a perfect experience for everybody. That said, we realize that no matter which service you are, no matter where you go, you're going to find those problems. It's just a matter of how you deal with them and how quickly you respond. And our team works very hard to be the best of the best right there. And I think that we're doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So partnerships at mm-hmm. Mixer, what does one get from becoming a partner?
Lots of cool stuff and a lot more coming. Right now, our partnership program is actually, it's simultaneously easy to get into and not easy to get into. There's a lot of value in it because while we do have minimums, they're fairly low. And the minimums are really only there just to give you guys a marker to say, okay, I am succeeding. I am making, you know, growth and impact. We look over the course of a couple months to gauge that. So it's not just, you know, I hit it one time and I'm good to go. You know, we're looking for an actual growth because we want to make sure that you're set up. The reason that it's kind of hard to get in is we have a really thorough review process. We are looking to weed out the jerks if we can. And so there's sometimes when we have to decline someone who technically qualifies because of the numbers, because they're toxic in their community, or they're just jerks, and we don't want to represent Mixer with jerky streamers. So that's where it kind of gets to some people. It's more difficult to get in, but as long as you are, you know, a positive community and you enjoy promoting that positive community and you are working hard, it's really not that hard to get partnership. As far as what you actually get when you become a partner, because it is a little bit more selective, we also try to make sure that the value is really, really high. So like I said, we have that partner Discord. So you can hang out with other partners. You can hang out with, there's actual staff in there that monitor and chat with them all the time. If FTL is having issues, our lead FTL guy is in there first thing and saying, hey, I'm fixing FTL, just so you know, it's going to be back up in 20 minutes. And, you know, right there, direct contact, which is pretty cool. Our partner managers also connect with our partners once a month and spend one-on-one time with each partner. So we do our absolute best to make sure nobody feels left out or, you know, caught behind the curve of information, because a lot of information goes out through email, but not everybody checks email, or sometimes email just doesn't go through for whatever reason. So we over-communicate as much as possible. We also have, I mean, the standards, you get sub button and ad revenue and all of that, which, by the way, we don't currently have ads, but we do give ad revenue as though you had ads.
Oh, so maybe that's something.
Most people don't know that.
Ooh, I have noticed there's no ads on Mixer because I work in media business as my day job.
Mm-hmm. We are bringing ads because we do want to provide a source of income. The reason it's taking so long is that we want to do it right. Everything that we do, it takes a little bit longer sometimes because we want to do it right. And we believe that the ad experience should not be intrusive and annoying and obnoxious. We had ads at one point, but it was not a great system because it would show the same ad over and over and annoy you, and it would like stop the video play. It was just not a fun experience. We just took it away because it just wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it to us to annoy our user base just for ads. But we are going to bring them to help promote the and support the partners, and you know, that's coming. Just until then, we're paying them as though they're running like 4 ads an hour, something like that. I don't know. There's a set rate, and it's, we try to make it fair across the board. We also have cool stuff like you can be featured on the Xbox Dash.
I don't know if you've seen,
but we have our very own page on the Xbox dashboard, and partners can say, hey, I've got a stream that occurs on Tuesdays and I do this thing. Can you feature me? And we'll, you know, get them in as best we can. We also have some stuff waiting in the wings, sponsorship-wise and events-wise. We sent some partners out to New York for a Paladins event. We brought some partners out to E3 to represent us at the Partner Lounge. You know, there's a lot of little things that are available for partners. And, oh, I have so much more up my sleeve that I can't tell you about. I'm very excited. I know that there's some people that are watching the changes at Twitch and wondering, is Mixer going to catch up? Yes, we are. I've got plans.
Oh, nice. And we know that you're a creative thinker, so I can only imagine. Oh, it's exciting times. So are you still streaming?
I do, actually. I stream Sunday afternoons. I stream my D&D group. We're taking the break for the summer. I think we'll start back in August. But this is our second year in this campaign, so it's pretty exciting.
That's something I haven't gotten a chance to play yet, and I really want
D&D
to.
D&D is so good. Yeah. D&D is so good. Yeah. I actually have some exciting news for you that I'll spill after the podcast.
Okay, after we're done this.
Yeah, we'll talk to you.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And then I also stream on Tuesday afternoons with my, right now I'm just streaming with my brother. We play Borderlands right now.
That's great.
Kind of wing it.
So game-wise, it seems like everything under the sun is currently being played on Mixer. And I've been seeing a lot of big companies jump in there, too. I've seen IGN did a stream and things like that. Have you guys noticed a bigger influx with those, I guess you could say, media companies that are looking at it but are being like, is it going to last? Is it not? You know, that kind of thing?
I think it's safe to say yes. I can't name any names, but we're getting a lot of attention.
Nice. I like that. I like that a lot. I love when things that I think, I just really like the platform. Sorry. I'm gushing a little bit.
Hey, well, this morning, I'm prone to gushing too. This morning we had a town hall with just all of the Mixer team and talking about where we've been, where we want to go. And man, some of the stuff that the engineering team has in mind for next year is, it's mind-blowing that they could even pull it off. So I'm really excited.
Are most your streamers American?
I would say our primary audience is American. Okay. We do have a growing EU audience and streamer base. Mm-hmm. But I would say that most of the market is American. I don't have numbers on that, but.
And you guys have that space in New York for streaming as well?
Right. We are working, and this is something that you're going to see a lot more of over the coming year. We are working with the Microsoft stores. Each one of them, each of the main ones, are going to be building out a streamer space. And we're actually going to start hosting streamer events and having people come in and, you know, play some of the new games, even some early release games, maybe, and actually stream it right there on Mixer. But we we're starting in New York, and they've got a pretty nice studio there on the fifth floor that there's been a lot of events coming out of, and you'll see a lot more.
That's sweet. Well, I know we have a Microsoft store in Toronto in the Eaton Center. I was there last week before.
You're going to see some events.
We need one in Montreal. So, yeah.
maybe I'll place a bug in somebody's ear.
There you go. We need one in Montreal, or at least the Mixer space, so we can go hang out and stream some stuff.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, I mean, geez, we've rolled through most of my questions. Wow, it's been so nice talking with you. You've got so many cool things going on.
Yeah, I wish I could share more of it. Man, it's good stuff. I'm excited.
Soon. And for those, okay, so first off, before I totally let you go, for those who are interested in becoming a partner streamer, where do they find all the details?
So you're going to start on your accounts page. Just go to your accounts page. There's going to be a partnership tab. You'll have the opportunity to apply there, and it will also link you to the requirements page. I do strongly recommend checking out the requirements page, because I don't want to have to decline you because you didn't check out the requirements page.
Read, people. It's important.
People. It's super important. And it doesn't take long. If you do get declined, it's a 2-month waiting period before you can apply again, which is roughly if you're close to a partnership, but you're not quite there yet, it's roughly 2 months is about how long it takes for people to get those solid numbers. And that's also how far back my review team is required to go, at least 2 months, to look for that upward trend. So that's why it's 2 months. But cool. If you want to get started on partnership, my recommendation is to be consistent. Make sure your people know what to expect and when to expect it. Keep streaming, keep a positive attitude, and keep streaming. I mean, I'm going to say it one more time, just in case you missed it. Keep streaming.
Awesome. And now for yourself, because I want people to be able to follow you and watch your D&D games. How can people track you down on Mixer?
Everywhere I go, I am Graphoniac. Graphoniac.
Awesome. Amelia, thank you.
Thank you so much,
Leah. It's really exciting. I can't wait to see more from Mixer.
Yeah, I can't wait to. I'm very, very excited. Thanks for your time.
And that pretty much wraps up everything for this show this week. Simon, what's going on with Stream Team?
I mean, you know, pretty much same stuff as usual. I mean, we had a lot of people streaming this week. Even I went back to streaming.
Yeah.
So honestly, like, check us out, girlsongames.tv, or on Twitter or on Discord. There's always something happening, always someone to check out. So definitely come swing by.
Awesome. Kat, what's going on the website?
Well, our good friend Tony Stark, who does Stark Raving Geek, has started featuring some of his content on girlsongames.ca. So we have his video with all the details on the SNES Classic. So quick little video of 5 minutes for you to watch. We have our last art examination, which is on Child of Light and the fairy tale style of all the painting and the visual fairy tale. So that was the last in her series of, if Miss Biancadonk makes more, we'll have more, but that was the last in the art examination series. So if you guys are art nerds and video game nerds, make sure to check out the whole series on girlsongames.ca.
Awesome. So yeah, go to the website, check all that stuff out. Of course, I want to thank everybody on the panel for being here. And of course, Amelia, for being part of the show this week. Catherine, where can people track you down?
So I am CSDESBINS, CS de Bien, on Twitter, Instagram, and all the gaming platforms. Add me on Battle.net, because I'm playing a lot of Overwatch right now, or add me on Xbox or PlayStation, and I'll accept your friendship in about, I don't know, 2-3 months.
Whenever you move back with the console.
Yeah, exactly.
Whenever I'm done with Overwatch and actually go back to console.
Simon, where can people track you down?
I am GOG Simon on Twitter and 4240 with the number 2 at the end on Mixer.
Awesome. I'm Leah G, our most social media, but on Mixer and Xbox Live, I'm GOG Leah. But of course, you want to know everything there is to know about Girls on Games. You can track us down on Twitter and Facebook at The Girls on Games. We're Girls on Games on Instagram. If you want to continue this conversation, you're more than welcome to do so with us on Discord. We have a Discord channel. That's discord.me/girlsongames. And of course, everything you need to know is on our home base. That's our website, girlsongames.ca. So thank you, Kat. Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Amelia. And we'll be seeing y'all next week. Happy gaming.
Adios.